Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Coach Kelly.
Kelly, this is so strange. Oh my goodness. So I'm in Santa Fe and you're in LA. And
yes,
here we are doing the show.
Remotely. I love it.
It's awesome. We had a little bit of shit happens a few minutes ago, right? Where we didn't think it was going to work.
But all good in the hood right now.
So we have our cue. If I fade out or the internet collapses, then I'm going to be the caller in.
All right. Perfect. I would love that. Make up a problem. I want to hear it.
Okay. I have lots of problems I could share, but I don't know about that. How candid can we be on the air?
Very. I want to hear it.
Actually, I have to say life is really good right now. I'm actually on vacation.
Oh.
And in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And have you ever been here?
I've been there once. It's been many years, though. Many, many years. But I liked it a lot when I was there.
So came out here the first time a year and a half ago to go to the Balloon Festival in Albuquerque, because that is an amazing experience.
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
I've never seen more hot air balloons with so many colors. It's so incredibly beautiful. And said, well, okay, in Albuquerque, I heard so many amazing things about Santa Fe. Have to go. Have to add a trip to Santa Fe, right? So extended. Instead of the three-day weekend, it becomes the week-long vacation. So came out here and went to Santa Fe and said, don't know. Jury's kind of out here. Within one day, I'm in love with this place. I'm just absolutely in love with it. And then they call it the Enchanted State.
Oh.
Because people just fall in love with it. You don't know why. It's so such a different lifestyle. It's like turning somebody from a type A personality to a type B minus. I mean, like, so relaxed. Everybody is so chill and so friendly.
That's
it's just wonderful.
Oh, I love that. Isn't it kind of spiritual too? It's got that like spiritual feel a little bit.
The healing arts is so big here. I mean, so many people are about all this. I mean, tea shops, right? So I am totally falling in love with different kinds of teas. The, you know, from the actual tea leaves, not in the bags, but the loose leaf tea. They're everywhere here. Even went to Sprouts here.
Yeah.
And they have a section of loose leaf teas. Well, Sprouts in LA, they don't have loose leaf tea, or I haven't found it. They don't even have, I think they have maybe one choice at Whole Foods. So it's really an amazing, there's so much here about that.
I would love that. I got to go.
Lovely.
I want to go with you one time. I think I would love it from what you describe.
It is really spectacular. But I swear it does. It changes my personality because I'm so much of a doer.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be, you know, I love the work that I do as you love the work that you do. But it's really nice to be able to just, you know, it's like, oh, I don't really have to be there in 15 minutes. If I'm there in an hour, it's okay. Nobody really cares.
And you deserve that. Yeah.
You
need a break. So I'm happy you're getting a little R&R.
Are you kidding me? You deserve 10 weeks of vacation based on what your kids have put you through
in the
last couple weeks with their illnesses. Are they feeling better?
Yes, but my little one's still not quite sleeping. So that's been, the sleep is just killer. And then, you know, what's funny is I have mothers who've got older children who are like, yeah, and then you kind of don't sleep when they're out all night because you're worried about them. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like you just can't get a good night's sleep when you have kids. It's unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, and you have two, and
yes.
One of them is a good sleeper or no?
Yes, the older one is pretty decent. I never thought I'd say that. But yeah, he's exhausted. I mean, he's just running around the whole day. So by 7 o'clock, he's out. And he's pretty good. I mean, he'll wake up early, but I'm okay with that. The younger one's just kind of been sporadic. It's like, you know, the Forrest Gump chocolate. You just don't know what you're going to get. Like, is it going to be a good night? Is it going to be, you know, is he going to be screaming and waking up? So...
But then you see that little face, and when he smiles at you, it just all that anguish that you have experienced goes away, huh? Just even if it's for 5 seconds.
My line is, thank God he's cute. That's all I say. Like, he's so adorable, and I'm like, oh my God. And he's like a little charmer. So, yeah, thank God. And they have my heart. You know, both of the boys, they have my heart. They're good boys.
I heard somebody say once, and I just love this one, Tiffany, my daughter, was young, and this woman said to me, she says, you know, it's an amazing process, child rearing. Just when you're ready to kill them, they change. Right? So just when you are so fed up with that behavior that will just not stop, and you're like, okay, they're up for adoption. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
They're gone. Then all of a sudden, they change.
That's so true. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, wow. There was this book series also. There was my one-year-old, my two-year-old, my three-year-old, my four-year-old. So each year, it was a long time ago. I don't even know if they're still in print. But it was an interesting thing because their premise was that about every 6 months, there's a real strong developmental shift. Obviously, in the first year, there's a developmental shift in every day. But after that, like every six months or so, they sort of shift into some new experience. So it'd be interesting if you watch your kids as they're growing up and see if that stands true or if that was just one of those great gimmicks for a new self-help book. Right?
No, I could see that. I could absolutely see that. I want to check that out. Yeah.
Yes, and we would love to have some call-ins. So even though I'm remote and I'm not in studio, we still have the capacity to take your calls. So please do call us at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And of course, we always love your emails. We have several of them today that we can get to. But if you call in, we will interrupt our email discussion or our personal discussion to answer your call. So please do make that call, even if you're shy. You know what? We don't bite. We're friendly and compassionate and sometimes a little hard ass, but in a good way.
In a good way. And you can remain anonymous. Give us a fake name. We will never, you know, cite your number on air or anything like that.
Absolutely. And if you do call in and then you want to give us an email afterwards, you can get either a free book from me or a free book from Kelly, because we have some books that we can share with you. And we'd love to do that.
So do you want to do a little bit of a recap about last week's show?
Well, it sort of sounds like we're doing that. We're talking about little munchkins, right?
Yes, so exactly.
Last time we were talking about childhood issues and whether, you know, childhood issues, do they stay with us forever? Can we ever repair them? What do we do about them? Then we had some interesting other things about keeping intimacy alive as well. So the show kind of went all over the map. Huh?
Yes. I love that, though. It's great because I think people can relate in all different areas.
So what do you think? Do you think that we can actually overcome our childhood issues?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, I love your story especially. But yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that one of the key things that you mentioned last week that I agree with is that you have to get out of that victim mode. And I think a lot of people are stuck in that victim mode of like, oh my God, I had such a rough childhood and poor me. And you know, it's understandable. You were scarred and things happened. But I think once we step out of that, realize we're capable of so much more and taking that damaged childhood and, you know, feeling empowered by it and making that change and, you know, learning from it, becoming a better person through all of it. So I do. I think you can change. I mean, I think things might still trigger you, but I think you do have the capacity to change.
I totally agree. And, you know, I think one of the worst parts about that victim mentality that we didn't even touch base on last time is that it tends to give you this sense of entitlement and deserving that the world is supposed to stop for you and make special accommodations. So the flip side of entitlement and a sense of deprivation is this ugly sense of entitlement that pops out. So, you know, you're the one, you know, oh my gosh, I've been so wounded in my life, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at the bank and I'm in a hurry and there's somebody that's in front of me and I'm angry with them for taking 5 extra minutes to ask their questions of the teller because they want to resolve something. But I feel like it's my, like, wow, I was cheated out of so much. Now I don't get to get out of the bank in time. Now I don't get to, you know, there's that it shows up in so many destructive ways, like road rage and child abuse and different ways that people will reenact that sense of victimization onto other people. It's almost like displacement, you know, like you have a bad day at work because your boss is yelling at you. You come home, you yell at your wife or your husband, and then and then you yell at the kids, and the kids kick the dog, right? I mean, it's just this vicious cycle.
Yes. Well, and so in that case, are you saying that those people haven't quite resolved those issues? Are they unaware of them? Are they just not dealing with it? Or what do you think in that case?
You know, I think in all of those, right? I mean, so if you're carrying this around, it's kind of a little bit unconscious. You don't really, you know, you maybe are playing it tough and think that you've got it all together. And then lo and behold, I mean, it just pops out in these these different scenarios that you wouldn't even expect it. And then you look at these people and you say, what is going on? You know, this shouldn't be that big of a deal, but right. It is a big deal because yes. There's this sort of righteous sense of this is where I'm going to air my dirty laundry. This is where I'm going to expose to the world how bad it was for me and how good everybody has to now make it for me.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I can see that.
The flip side of that is, I'm sure you've met people like this too, where they just walk around with their wounds on their sleeve and you do feel sorry for them all the time because no matter what, they always have a sob story as to how bad it is and you want to help them, but they won't accept help because they are so committed to being in that position, that role in the world. Have you ever met anybody like that?
I have somebody so in mind, it kills me. But I know exactly what you're saying. And it's like, you offer solutions, there's clearly answers, but the person kind of wants to remain in that pity party.
Yeah.
That's very tough.
And it's tough. Oh, yeah. And you know, I would say that I definitely was that gal many, many years ago. I was a little bit sweeter about it. I didn't really manifest that entitlement stuff. I was much more of the wound on the sleeve type.
Yes.
With just always going to feeling some incredible amounts of shame. You and I have to do a show on shame if we could say that fast. It's show on shame. Yes.
Because let's do it next week.
Let's do it because that is the root of so many different issues that show up. You know, shame begets more shame or really ugly behavior.
Yes. Yes. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I think that will be a great topic next week. We'll do that.
All right.
So if you're listening, we're Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Give us a call at 323-203-0815. We also take emails, and we have a Facebook page.
You know, you say about the Facebook page, just a little side note here before we launch into our Love Week, Valentine's Day topic is the social media stuff. It is just driving me crazy. I'm totally embarking on trying to get all this stuff together to be on Facebook and Twitter and what is it, Pinterest or something with pictures. Oh, it's hysterical. I mean, it's fun.
There's so
but it's
much.
So overwhelming. There's so much out there. There's so many ways that people stay connected, and it's wild. Wild experience.
It's once you get your Twitter and everything, I want to hear about it because I will be your first follower. Or
you will? Okay, and then you'll send it out to everybody. And everybody, once they get that done, we'll blast it. And you all have to say, I like it and follow it. And it seems so self-absorbed though, right? I mean,
Doesn't it? It actually is.
But
it's so funny because when I think about you, I'm like, that's not self-absorbed. But then when I think about promoting myself too, I'm like, oh, are people thinking, you know, this is selfish? That's really funny you said that. But yeah, I mean, that's the way the world is today. That's the truth.
People just actually love reading other people's snippets in their life, right?
True.
I mean, I guess that's, I don't know, is it sort of real life soap operas?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's like, you know, back in the day with the journal, if somebody had a journal out, you'd kind of peek over and look. I mean, this is a self-promoting journal, but still it's just interesting to take a peek in somebody else's life, I think.
Absolutely. Awesome. Interesting stuff. It's just a whole new world for me. So I'm anxious about it and excited about it all in one.
So cool. So let's talk about Valentine's Day and our topic for today, which is loneliness and expectations of love during this holiday.
So interestingly, this reminded me when you thought about this topic years back, kind of how I got my first Dear Dr. Deborah column as I wrote this article called The Tender-Hearted Trap, which was really about people who get encompassed with this Valentine's thing if they don't have love in their lives and they don't have that relationship that they're truly.
So we lost Deborah, so we'll come back to her story in a moment. In the meantime, I
can now.
Okay, good. All right, I was saying that I was reading the email that we got, number one, on Valentine's Day. And
okay.
So I wanted to respond to that, and then
okay.
I want to hear your take.
All right. Well, you start so I can go ahead and read it.
Sure. Okay. So I was thanking Lonely Cupid for writing in. And yeah, I mean, I think Valentine's Day brings up a lot of emotion for people. It's, you know, there's this expectation that you should be in love. And if you don't have somebody, you know, there might be some feelings of self-consciousness or just not good enough. So, you know, I think that maybe having a lightness during the holiday will help and realize, like, you know, I think it's very commercialized a lot of times. And, you know, it may look like everybody has somebody out there, but that's not true. So I know that you had said that you don't want to go to a bar because, as you quoted, that screams desperate, but I know you don't want to be home alone again. So I guess my thought is, what do you like to do? Because, you know, I would look at this like any other day. And you know, do what you love to do. Do you love to go bowling? Do you love to go to the movies? Do you love to go hiking? And if there is somebody, maybe just a platonic person that you can call and hang out with so you don't feel so alone. I mean, even a relative. Like, there's no shame in, you know, hanging out with somebody you just appreciate and doing something that you love, renting a movie, you know, baking something together. You could do something so you don't feel so alone. And then number one, you said, how do I deal with the endless loneliness I feel? Well, that, I guess, we need to understand a little bit more of as to why do you feel this loneliness? Are you isolating yourself? Or is it, you know, you feel okay in the world?
Can you hear me, Kelly?
Now I can hear you. You're back. I was responding to this email again. So I think we need to know a little bit more about your endless loneliness, and maybe hopefully she'll come back in.
I am here, but we are. Hello, I am here, but yes. I can only hear every other word. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So if you want to respond to that email, that would be great.
Okay. If you can hear me. Yeah. Good answers though, Kelly. I love your responses. I think it's so important for us to not put too much stock into just the idea of Valentine's Day. I mean, Valentine's Day, which is what I was saying before, I guess I cut out, which is that tenderhearted trap experience where we have so many expectations of people and that day and what we're supposed to do. And it's just the day. And you know what? Just make the day special for you.
It's exactly what I was saying. I mean, I hope that all of our listeners can
hear
out there.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to put too much stock in any one day at all.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read email number two. My husband has told me he wants a divorce. I can't in his head. Lots of couples deal with infidelity and stay in the marriage. Why won't my husband? Do you think there's anything I can or should do? I feel really bad and recognize that I should have tried to work on the problems in our marriage and not seek solace elsewhere. I'm also really bummed because it's almost Valentine's Day. Signed, feeling really stupid and sad. So, Dr. Deborah, are you still there? Oh, we got a call. Let's... Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Hi, this is Reverend Keem calling. I was just testing the number to make sure at 4:30 when I call it would work.
Oh, well, it is working, but since you're on, do you want to check in and you have a question or anything like that?
I was.
So did you have any questions?
No, I just wanted to make sure that this worked.
Okay.
And it worked correctly. That way there's no mess-ups on reaching you
okay.
on the show for 4:30.
Okay, thanks so much. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Hello?
Coach Kelly, this is Dr. Deborah. I have a serious problem with Valentine's Day.
What is your problem? Let me hear.
Coach Kelly, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm going to use a call-in line because... We keep cutting out on
Skype. Oh, my God. It's crazy. I mean, unless you want to try maybe one more time so we can leave our line open. Do you want
to try me one more time? Let's see if we can get it together. And if not, then I'm going to call right back in. So
okay,
we can keep
sounds
this
great.
Show going.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. All right. So while we are waiting for Dr. Deborah to call back in on Skype, I'm going to go ahead and just proving that you are really committed to this marriage again, and that you will be faithful and that you can be trusted. And then the rest, unfortunately, is in his hands. And so I'm wishing you well. And, you know, hopefully this has opened up a lot of doors for both of you in the sense that there was obviously some issues in the marriage that you now need to work on or, you know, hopefully can learn from. So thank you so much for your email. You're listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, and I think Dr. Deborah is back. Can you hear us?
I can. It's not perfect, but we'll keep trying.
Okay.
I know that you read the email about the infidelity. Can you hear me?
Yes, I read the email about the infidelity. I can totally hear you. You're good to go.
Okay.
Did you have
and
any
did you
response?
Already respond?
I did, so I'd love to hear your response. Can you hear us? Dr. Debra is having some technical issues today. Well, not her, but our Skype program. So hopefully she will call back in. I will go ahead and trying to show us that, you know, you just got to kind of roll with the punches sometimes. And, you know, life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Life gives us technology issues. We'll figure it out. We'll deal with it. And I'm okay out here alone. So don't worry if we lose you again. But are you back? Can you hear us? Okay, she is out. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read email number 3. Dr. Debra and Coach Kelly, you both seem pretty down to earth and practical women, so I hope you can help. I hate Valentine's Day. It's such commercial garbage, but my wife loves the day and she pesters me constantly as soon as the new year hits about what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to get for each other? And blah, blah, blah. I know I sound like a grouch, but shouldn't we be trying to make loving gestures every day for our spouse? I just can't stand society telling me when and how to show my affection for my wife, but I never have the heart to tell my wife what a crock I think this holiday is, and I play along. What are your thoughts and what should I do? Loving husband who hates Valentine's Day. So are you there, Dr. Debra?
Kelly, I am.
Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now perfectly. So I just read email number 3.
Okay.
So if you can respond to that, hopefully we can hear you on that one.
All right. Well, you know what? The what are we getting for each other? What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. So this guy sounds really cynical about Valentine's Day,
yes,
which is sad, but so sounds like he really loves his wife and wants to engage in a way that makes her happy. I would say that the best thing to do would be to really sit down with her and say, look, you know, I know this is just a day and it's really important for you, et cetera, but it feels like a lot of pressure. Why don't we create a day that we decide is our love day, our special love day, not just our anniversary, but our love making day.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So that it's not just about the commercialism and it's not just about, you know, what is he going to get for her? But I think also I would suggest to him that he kind of gets out of his own way a little bit. Sometimes what makes love so important is that sometimes we do things that we're not all that excited about. We're not that happy about it. So it's one day out of his life.
Yes.
Like, kind of just make peace with that. It's
exactly
important to her. That's what I say. How about you?
I 100% agree with you. I mean, I think that marriage and relationships are all about compromise. And so this feels like it's really important to her and she gets excited about it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to get excited about it, but maybe he can get excited about it for her because he can see how much it means to her. And, you know, and I'm sure maybe it's, you know, a matter of him sitting down and thinking about, you know, what his partner does for him also. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't love everything that he loves, but she does it for him. So I think it's kind of that reframing it a little bit and realizing that it's not necessarily about the holiday and this commercial part of it, but it's more of just the wife wanting to feel special, which is totally understandable. And necessary, I think, in a relationship, you know, to hear nice things, to do nice things for each other. So I'm in agreement with you wholeheartedly. I think he needs to get out of the way a little bit and do something, you know, nice for his wife.
I want to get a little bit deeper psychologically, too, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so I see a little bit of rebelliousness in this guy. You know, when somebody says, I hate people telling me what to do. There's that reframe again, too. It's not that nobody's telling you what to do. This is something that you've engaged in with your partner, your relationship person who loves you and whom you love. And, you know, it's not – sometimes we do things that other people ask us to do just because it's the right thing to do or it's a – what's our end result that we're after? You know, if we want our partner to be happy, then if this is one thing that makes her happy, let's just give that a go.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. So I'm hoping that he can step up to the plate and maybe also – I'm just thinking out loud – maybe there is – even a slight compromise in what he, you know, they can do something that they can enjoy together. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, hearts and flowers. It can be just, you know, something that they both enjoy together on Valentine's Day. And she can feel like they are celebrating both Valentine's Day and just, you know, a nice evening together. And he doesn't feel like it's so commercialized.
Yeah, completely. Absolutely. So come on, loving husband who hates V-Day.
Yeah.
Dive in there and just enjoy it. You know, there's lots of things that we can turn chicken shit into chicken salad, my favorite saying.
I love that.
All right, so you don't like it? Make something good for it. You
exactly.
know, because it's for a worthy cause.
It's so
for
true.
Helping your partner feel good.
It's so true. Oh, I think we got another call. It might be the same caller as before, so hang on just a second. Hi, you're on air live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly.
Hi. This is Greg King calling in. I was calling in for a 4:30 show.
It's actually 1:30 where we are. Are you calling in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Michael Long.
That's actually, I think, a different show. Did you call in before?
Well, I'm sorry. What's your show about?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if you wanted to stay on. Our show is an advice show. We are we have one psychologist, and I am a therapist. And this is, you know, you can ask any questions, whatever's on your mind, whatever's going on. Our topic today is expectations and loneliness around Valentine's Day. But you can feel free to ask a question on anything that's going on with you.
Well, I think things are running along with me pretty well. I've gone through some changes in my life. I made a move, and I've been finding that this is the first time in 13 years that I've stayed in the north for the winter. And believe me, the gray sky has got to me.
Oh, yes. I can totally understand that. Have you heard of seasonal affect disorder?
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah, so a lot of times in the winter, we don't get enough sunlight, which produces a lot of endorphins. And so a lot of times, you know, this is very common. People get really down and depressed in the winter because you don't have that sunshine. Are you able to get some exercise?
Yeah, I'm able to do that. I've been getting out more and doing a little more here. Where I live is up in Lilydale, New York, which is an hour west of Buffalo on Route 90. And it's one of the old spiritualist communities that built back in the 1800s. So we don't have an area here that you can really, like, walk a lot, but I've been getting out of other places and doing more of that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I mean, that should absolutely help. And are you doing anything else for your mental health? Are you still able to enjoy, you know, activities that you once enjoyed? Or do you feel
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I'm just not used to the winter. I'm used to being down in Estero, Florida. I have an office down there, and I'm used to being down there, and I stayed up here this year, and it's like, boy, oh boy, you remember how gray it really is.
Yes. And we have Dr. Deborah, who's the psychologist, on the line. Dr. Deborah, can you hear our caller?
I could not hear a word, so can you recap what the question was? I can hear the caller now. I'm
sure,
so sorry.
Caller, if you could just repeat for her, because she's calling in remotely, and so she missed a little bit of what you said.
I've lived in Florida in the winter for 13 years, and I'm up in New York State right now, and I'm staying up here for the winter, and it was so gray out here. I mean, the nightlights stay on in the daytime.
So I was telling him a little bit about seasonal affect disorder and how this is very common when you don't have sunshine. It's really easy to get kind of down and depressed, and it's just sort of gloomy. And so he did say I asked him about exercise, and he does do some activities. So we were talking a little bit about that, and then you chimed in.
Yeah, and you know, the most important thing when you're feeling gloomy and it's bordering on some kind of depression possibly is counteraction. So even though we think of depression as a feeling, like people say, I feel depressed, depression is a state of being, and it's the absence of our true feelings. It's kind of like it's a life sucker, if you will. It sucks the life out of you. It's not pushing you toward life, it's pulling you away from life. So the best thing you can do without dealing with biochemistry is to do the opposite of what depression says. Do you ever like feel like sleeping longer then, even though you've had enough sleep, or you want to stay more in bed?
Oh, that's happened at times, but it's not anything drastic. I'm usually up 6:30 in the morning. It's just, you know, it's so dark and so gray during the day. It's like I didn't remember it that dark and that gray until I was here for the winter, you know.
Right. There are light therapies, actually. There are certain kinds of lamps and stuff, I believe, therapeutically that people use for those kinds of situations that actually might help. It almost stimulates different parts of the brain to get reactivated, because without the actual sunlight, et cetera, those parts can go dormant. So you might want to look into that, maybe look into that online or something.
Yes. And now
I will.
And right now, too. I mean, it's so much less expensive than it once was. I think because now seasonal affect disorder is sort of more more mainstream. There are definitely more products. You just want to make sure it has like 10,000, I think, is the number of light units. Anything under that, I don't think is as sufficient. But yeah, if you can grab one of those, that might be a great tool in the meantime until you get back to Florida.
There's also check out go to the lab and get a blood test for your vitamin D levels. So many people are vitamin D deficient, and you know, if you're not getting enough light, or even, you know, people, I mean, I found out that I was vitamin D deficient because I wear sunscreen all the time, even though I'm in most of the time in sunny California and there's tons of sunlight. And that can, you know, vitamin D deficiency or any kind of vitamin deficiency can also affect mood and motivation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And maybe you can tune into our show more often. Really love to hear from you.
That'd be wonderful.
We really appreciate it.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Take good care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You are listening. Thank you. You are listening to Dr. Deborah.
And Coach Kelly.
Well, occasionally Dr. Deborah today, because apparently technology does not want to be as much part of the show. And now it's a perfect connection. So go figure.
I know. Exactly. It's so funny.
So we still have time. If you want to give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And Kelly, you know, I didn't get to comment on what the email that was most important to me was the number two. Well, they're all important, but the one about infidelity.
Yes.
Let's just go back to that for just a minute, because I know that, you know, infidelity is so prevalent and so prominent in our world these days. I mean, I think it's a higher percentage than there is of fidelity.
Yes.
And I think that one of the reasons that it becomes such a profound impact on a relationship is because while the partner who is being unfaithful is generally have some guilt, usually, unless they're a serial cheater, usually they're in some conflict about it, but they have all this time to sort of process their feelings while they're living this secret duplicitous life. Uh-huh. And what happens to when the partner finds out is that it's like a bomb that's dropped.
Yes.
You know, it's all at once. And all those images that they get barraged with, it's so strong and so impossible to shut those off. So the consequences are so severe that while somebody is being unfaithful, they're not thinking about it. They're thinking about, you know, this is what I need for me because this isn't working, and making all these rationalizations and justifications. And it's tragic. I work with so many couples in these situations. And while, yes, some people have the ability to get over that and they can let it go in their mind, sometimes when people know the details or they find out more about the details, they just can't get over that concept that their partner took that thing that they thought was most precious between them and brought it somewhere else. It's such a big deal.
Well, I don't know if you could hear my response, but I was saying...
I couldn't hear it, sorry.
Okay, no, I was saying that, I mean, I think, you know, her question was like, well, you know, why can't he just get over this? And, you know, do you think there's anything I can do? And I was saying that, you know, everybody deals with it in their own time. Maybe some people can get over it quicker. And, you know, it's exactly like you said. I mean, he just got a bomb dropped on him. So it takes time to process it. And I was saying that, you know, now it's her turn to kind of sit back and be patient and let him, you know, figure out what he needs to do. I mean, this is a huge devastation. It's a huge loss. And he needs to do his own grieving in his way. You know,
one thing I don't know if you mentioned, or it's wonderful. And one thing I'm not sure if you mentioned is, I think the one thing she can do is ask if he might be willing to put the divorce on hold. Not necessarily that they are going to not get divorced, but if he'd be willing to experiment with maybe 6 months of, if she's willing to go to extra mile to demonstrate to him how remorseful she is, just how much she recognizes, so he can really see that there's been a learning curve here.
Yes.
Because people can change, right? If we didn't believe that people could change, you wouldn't be doing therapy. I wouldn't be doing therapy with people. We honestly believe that with people with the right tools, the right insights, the right self-awareness and self-discovery and all that can make lifelong changes for the better.
Right. Exactly. No, I 100% agree with you. I like that idea a lot of, you know, just saying, can we just put it on hold for a little bit longer and just to kind of see. And then, you know, unfortunately after that, you know, she has to respect his decision, you know, one way or the other. But yeah, I really like that idea.
And, you know, some really intensive couples therapy where somebody can seriously help you figure out why you went astray, you know, what happened, what was going on in the marriage, because infidelity usually doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's generally been a crack that's occurred in the relationship from a long time back. So that can help the husband actually understood, not that he caused the affair in any way, but it's very possible that he actually was not responsive to his wife, not responsive to things that she has talked about over the years that she needed and wanted and desired of him, and she just got fed up. Again, no excuse, no ability to excuse that behavior, but it is a helpful explanation sometimes.
Yes, I totally agree. And, you know, I think that it should be said that a lot of marriages are stronger after infidelity because everything's out in the open. You're so honest from that point forward that you actually can strengthen marriages a lot. And I think people don't realize that. So that might be something, you know, to look forward to and hope for. So
absolutely. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Deborah
and Coach Kelly.
And please give us a call at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815.
So do you want to
dive into our last email?
Yeah, go for it.
Dear hosts, I broke up with my girlfriend after 4.5 years about 2 weeks ago. We were living in New York, but I decided to build a practice in Pennsylvania, where my family is from. So I didn't consult her on this decision, which I know was wrong. So after a year of construction, my practice isn't starting off well, and I can't help feel like I made a mistake with both starting a practice and ending a relationship. How do I know if I miss her or just miss having someone around? Signed, just don't know.
This is really interesting. I mean, I'm always the type that says, if you don't know, you know. And so if you don't know whether or not you love her, like, you kind of know, because you either love somebody or you don't. It's not really like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's really natural to grieve the loss of a relationship and miss that person and miss that companion. But I think there's a difference between just sort of missing somebody and really loving them and thinking, oh my God, you know, this is the love of my life. And I feel like that this is the love of my life is just it's like a gut feeling. You just know. It's not really a question. What do you think?
Well, you know, I can totally take on that perspective. And then I'm going to take a different one, though. Okay. I'm going to go more with life can become very complicated at times. And depending on maybe some of the messaging he received growing up about relationships, because a lot of guys are geared toward you have to be on the career path. The career path is more important than anything. And sometimes they lose sight of their heart and they lose sight of that powerful magnetism that comes out of just knowing. So I think in some ways you and I would be talking from a more pure female, heartfelt, intuitive perspective. But it's possible that he really just doesn't know, and maybe rethinking that, and maybe reaching out to her, and maybe doing some longer, maybe doing some Skyping that actually works.
Yeah, exactly. Very true.
Trying to stay connected. I don't know. I mean, instead of just letting it go, maybe just reaching out again and seeing where her heart's at, or maybe re-exploring the relationship. Maybe re-exploring the relationship with the help of a professional might be in order.
And do you think that long-distance relationships can work?
Yes and no. I think the ones that I've seen that work, people have to have a really strong sense of the ability to handle aloneness.
Oh, uh-huh.
And also be very emotionally mature.
Yes.
And really be able to do that. And also have frequent visits of some sort. I mean, I've helped a lot of couples through, like if they knew that there was maybe just a 1 year transition, mm-hmm. be able to get through that, because, you know, there are things that you can do that keep that with technology today when it is working. Really, you can Skype, you can FaceTime, you can text message, you can be in contact a lot.
Yes.
And that's really important. How about you? What do you think?
You know, I really like what you said, because I think you might have hit on the head. I think the person really needs to be comfortable with being alone. I mean, I think it can work. I guess my question is, can it work in a transition? Can it work in a permanency? Like, I guess that, because I think it's going to work better if you know that there's an end. Like, okay, great, you know, we're going to be long distance for 6 months, a year. I think there's sort of like, you can hang on a little bit harder. If it's more of a permanency, like, okay, you know, look, his job is here, her job is there, I think that might be a little bit tougher, because it's like, it's easy when, you know, you get into an argument or a fight, it's like, oh, they're just not here anyway. I think it might be a little bit more difficult. You know, have you noticed anything on that end, as far as if there's, you know, if it's a short term long distance relationship versus long term?
Yeah, great question. You know, I don't know how anybody could do it long term. Yeah. Long term without any kind of end goal in sight is sort of like, okay, we're together, but are we?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean, are we? I don't think the human mind is able to capture that. I'm sure that if any couples out there, or anybody who's done this, please call us or email us and let us know how that works for you, because I'm kind of at a loss for how to say that could work. I'm sure people have done it. I would say that's probably people who have very low contact needs.
Yes.
You know, and maybe some people also are known for having less need for touch than others.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, you know, some people can go on for, you know, months at a time and be fine without being touched. And I know so many people who just drop into relationships simply because they can't handle not feeling that physical contact with someone. So, you know, maybe there's something to that variable. Not sure, but
very true. And then on the flip side, you know, I've met a couple. I remember one time, I mean, they did see each other over the weekends, but during the week they were completely separate, and it worked really well for them. At least this woman, she had said, you know, it just works. You know, we get excited to see each other for the weekends, and then we kind of do our own thing during the week, and it just works for us. So
that I have heard a lot of. Yes. If there's regular reconnection, mm-hmm. and somebody has to do that for work. I know people who have done that indefinitely, but then sadly I know somebody else who, you know, she ended up killing herself because she couldn't handle that lifestyle anymore. But she didn't feel like it was her place to actually say that she couldn't, like she'd be taking too much away from her husband.
Oh my God.
It was
God.
Awful. I'm serious, like literally suicide.
Wow.
Very sad. Well, we don't want to end on that note.
Yeah,
we have a couple more minutes. So let's just say a couple of fun things about Valentine's.
Sure.
If you are single, and make Valentine's a day of self-love. Make it something where you write yourself a love letter. Use it as the day that you create a vision of what kind of relationship you actually want. And if you're a couple and you want to maybe some tips on some low-cost things, because I know a lot of people go, Valentine's Day, you look at those price-fixed meals in restaurants, oh my gosh, $100 for just the meal. Doesn't even include wine.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so I was thinking, set up a spa in your house, do mutual massages, write love letters to each other, do fun things like that.
I think that's beautiful. I absolutely agree. I love that. So next week, we're going to be talking about shame. This is Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Our phone number for next week, 323-203-0815. Or you can email us. We apologize again for the technical difficulties we had, but next week we'll both be back in studio.
Yes, and visit my website at drdebraonline.com, drdebraonline.com, and Kelly's website,
www.kellymiller.com. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Miss you, Coach Kelly. I'll see you next week.
Me too. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.